John's like over there looking at me, knowing the next thing I'm gonna say. I just love it when we all come forward and we're so close together. You guys, can we come forward just a little bit? Just a tiny bit. Just an itty bitty bit? Just a tiny bit. I was gonna say I'm kind of mushy like that. I think I am. I like the cozy little, but more importantly, I love seeing all of your faces close together. Father, we choose right now, Lord, to enter into your presence, Lord, by your grace, the righteousness that you've clothed us with, by your Son, God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Because your love is amazing, Lord, and it is unchanging. And so, God, I just pray that right now your Holy Spirit would just fall in this room, that you would fill us afresh, Lord, that we might enter in and worship you as our Savior and as our King. We bless your name.
Blessed is your name. And Lord, I love that line that says, though there is pain in the offering, still we will say, blessed be your name. And Lord, we come here this evening, Lord, desiring again to learn of you, to be taught by you, through your Spirit, through your Word. And Lord, as we cover a rich and challenging chapter, Lord, may we not leave here tonight without being pricked and changed, that your Word would take root, and Lord, that we would be precious, Lord, in your sight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good evening. Well, it's great to be here once again. How are you enjoying the study? Yeah? In your groups? Are you guys starting to kind of bond and mesh together? Usually it takes a few weeks getting to know the gals in your group. So I'm sure that there's a lot of great things happening with that. Well, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. And while you're doing that, just to kind of reflect on last week. Last week we learned in chapter 2 that we are a spiritual house, that we are a holy priesthood, and that our ministry is to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God that are holy and acceptable and pleasing to him. And remember that we talked about that, how he has given us a better hope and a better covenant and better promises and better sacrifices. And the greatest spiritual sacrifice that we can offer up to him is the whole of our lives being consumed by God. The whole of our lives being consumed by God. That is a living sacrifice. And obviously that requires surrender. Now, I started to look up verses about on surrender in scripture, and I was fascinated to find that the word surrender is only used in the Old Testament. And when it's used in the context of fighting battles, of a war. When an army would defeat, when an army was defeated by their enemy, those who survived were commanded to surrender or to die. And once they surrendered, they were stripped of dignity and of freedom, and they became slaves to a cruel master. And fear and torment were always involved in that type of surrender. But that is not the kind of surrender we're talking about here when we're surrendering to Jesus Christ. That is not what it looks like. It does not strip us from dignity or freedom. On the contrary, it is the source and means of true freedom and fullness. And the Christian, we're not forced or coerced into this type of surrender. We're not forced into his rule as sovereign Lord, but rather we willingly choose to submit under his leadership and under his lordship. Why? Well, it's because we discover that he is good. We discover that he is love. We discover that he has our very best interests in mind. We saw at the very end of chapter 2, I love verse 25, that he is the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. He cares. He nourishes us. He leads us. He is for us, watching over us. He can be trusted. We can surrender our lives to him. And you know, the outcome of our surrender will be submission. What does submission look like? It's a yielding of oneself. It's a placing oneself under the authority of someone else to obey. And you know, submission isn't scary. It shouldn't be a fearful thing when we hear that word. Of course, there's still a battle with our flesh, isn't there? The battle for control that all of us face. It's a daily choice. There's a quote that says, surrender is not the surrender of the external life, but of the will. And there are very few crises in life. The greatest crisis is the surrender of the will. And that's from a book by Nancy Leigh DeMoss entitled Surrender. And I would encourage you, if you've never read any of Nancy Leigh DeMoss's books, to grab one. You will be thoroughly blessed on that. So submission is ultimately to our Lord Jesus, first and foremost. And then, as we discovered in 1 Peter, that submission pours into every other area of our lives. We saw in chapter 2, there's submission to government and leadership. In other words, that we would be law-abiding citizens, that we would respect order, and we would respect office. And even though our true king is God Almighty and our allegiance is to him, we understand that God places man in positions of power to govern the people, and we are to submit for the Lord's sake. And then we saw that there's submission that takes place in the business world, in the workplace, respecting those that are put in authority over you, your bosses, your superintendents. And even if that person is unfair or harsh or rude, or maybe you suffer for doing good, we're told to patiently endure that and don't react in the flesh, that we would be a good witness for the Lord's sake, and that that is commendable before God. And then here now in chapter 3, this week, Peter talks about submission within the home life, within marriage specifically. Now, how many here are married? Raise your hand. Okay, the majority. How many of you are single or divorced? There's many of you single also. I want to encourage you, as we go through this portion of marriage, do not tune out, because it is applicable. Later on in the chapter, we see that actually Peter sums it up by saying submission should really take place in all areas of our life, in submission to one another as the body of Christ. So let's read verses 1 through 7. I'm really nervous tonight. I think it's because of the topic. Pray for me. Okay. Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. And do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging the hair, of wearing gold, or of putting on fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Happen to notice that there are 6 verses here for women and only 1 for the man? Why? Well, I think it's because women read the directions. You know, whenever Rob and I have a project or we buy something and it has to be put together, automatically, he always will just try to figure it out on his own. And automatically, I always go for the manual. I mean, I'm just there, tell me how, you know, step by step, work it out. And I won't tell you which way is better, but I will just say this, that he who finds a wife finds a good. Now, most of us are familiar with the portion on marriage found in Ephesians chapter 5 that really gives us this beautiful picture or design for the Christian marriage, for a godly marriage that glorifies God. Don't turn there. I'm just going to read through it. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Now, in this letter, I love that Peter goes into more detail in 1 Peter chapter 3 on the specifics of how to submit in a marriage relationship. And we're going to look at three areas tonight. We're going to see action, attitude, and adornment. Submission in action, attitude, and adornment. So first, let's look at submission in our action. We all know the saying that action speaks louder than words. And isn't that so true? You know, it really doesn't take long for other people to analyze and judge whether we are submissive in marriage. It can be just one dinner event, one time of just being together, and it's just interesting to me how quickly that is seen in a marriage relationship. And sadly, I mean, we don't want to judge immediately, but there are first impressions. And really, I think women that really struggle in this area of submission, it is pretty obvious when they're actually together with their husband. Our conduct, our actions are seen by those around us. Many eyes are from a distance, but many are up close and personal. They're the eyes of our children, the eyes of our close friends. And you know what? Also, younger women in the body who are looking for that example of, how do I love my husband? How do I love my children? And so they're watching us keenly to see how we interact in our marriage relationships. So our conduct reveals if we have truly given our husbands the place of honor, authority, and respect in our hearts and in our homes. And you know, today in the church, this is not an area that is talked about much. People don't want to hear it. Women don't want to hear it. I think women think that submission means weakness, and that is such a lie from the pit of hell. You know, we're deceiving ourselves if we think that we can ignore this area, because the consequence of disobedience in this area has such far-reaching impact to those around us. So this ought to be an area where we're always surrendering to Christ daily to mold and shape, no matter how long we've been married. It's never too late to grow in this area. I was blessed recently in a conversation that I was having with an older woman in our body who confessed to me that it's only been in the last few years that she has really completely surrendered in this area and is submitted to her husband in a marriage. And she is just exuberant. She is so excited, and she's just sharing with me the newness and the freshness in their marriage relationship and the fruit that she's seeing because of it. And it's just, she's overjoyed by it. I know in my marriage, you know, I'm actually relieved that the ultimate responsibility falls on Rob's shoulders. He is accountable to God, and I like that. You know, when decisions have to be made, we talk them over, we pray together. Sometimes, definitely, we have opposing views. Maybe we will handle a situation differently. But at the end of the conversation, at the end of the day, it is wonderful to be able to say, you know what, Rob, you pray. You seek the Lord, and what he shows you, I'm going to stand by your side. I'm going to back you up because I'm putting my trust ultimately in the Lord. Now, for some of you, you may be thinking, well, that's easy for you, Denise, because you're married to Pastor Rob. I mean, how hard can it really be? And you know, there is an element of truth to that for women who are married to men that are really abiding in the Lord. They're walking in obedience to the word. They're serving him. Yeah, it makes it easier for us to submit to our husbands, no doubt about it. But the truth is, we all fight that same battle for control. I mean, it's just the curse of being a woman. We like control. We like power. We like the influence. So no matter how great the guy is or isn't, there is always this battle for control that takes place. But you know, on a serious note, I do sympathize with the women in our body who are married to men that are not saved. I can't relate to that. I won't even begin to pretend I can relate to that. I can't. So I empathize. I sympathize for you women in that place, or women in the body whose husbands, they know the truth, but they're walking in carnality. They're just carnal Christians. They're not obeying the word. They're not being spiritual leaders in the home. And you know, obviously, I can't bring you comfort through my experience, but you know what? The word can. And I'm so glad this instruction is here in 1 Peter that gives us direction and it gives us hope. So again, verse 1, likewise, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. You know, in Peter's day, as the gospel was being preached and going throughout the regions, there were many, many women who gave their hearts and lives to the Lord, that responded to the gospel message. But a lot of them, their husbands did not do that. And so all of a sudden, there's these huge issues in the family. There's huge issues in their marriage relationship. There's problems. There's no fellowship. I'm sure there are many husbands that were not happy about the change that took place in their wives. No doubt for some, there was sorrow and suffering and persecution. And certainly the question was posed, can I leave? Can I walk out? I mean, I've shared with my husband. I've told him about the Lord. I've, you know, talked to him over and over, and he rejects it. But Peter makes it clear here, let your actions speak louder than your words. Be submissive so that your life can have an impact, so that your life can bring that spouse to the Lord. You might be the only epistle that he's going to read ever in his life. You know, when we travel on mission trips to share the gospel, it becomes apparent quickly that it is always the children and the women who first respond to the gospel message. You know, I saw that when I went to Russia, and then I saw it in Hungary. I'm looking around like, where are the men? You know, they don't stop to listen. They're more hard toward the gospel message. And often when we first plant churches, they are made up of women and children. I think of Jim and Margie Stewart in Baia, Hungary. That is what happened with them. When they planted that church, it was a few kids and a couple women. And they were faithful, and they just kept loving on them and teaching them the word. And then these women would go home, and then their husbands would start to see this change, this transformation in their wives' lives. And then eventually, over time, they would begin to come to church, and eventually they would get saved. And now it's just awesome to see the fruit in that church. And now there's men and women and children, and it's healthy, and the men are serving and they're leading. No, there are women in our body that are married to unbelievers or a husband that's not obeying the word. But be encouraged and strengthened tonight. Don't lose hope. Be that living epistle. Let your husband read your life. Let your children read your life. Shine in the darkness. Keep praying for them. And as hard as it is, submit to your husband as unto the Lord, trusting Jesus as the overseer of your soul. Now, of course, there are exceptions to submission. We have to look at the whole counsel of the Word of God. And if you're in an abusive marriage, maybe there's alcohol or drugs or sexual immorality, or if you or your children are in danger, you're not to be a silent sufferer. Or if your spouse is forcing you to do something that is contrary to God's Word, you are not to submit to him in things that are contrary to the Word of God, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. I've counseled women, you know, that are being, you know, forced to look at pornography, and they come and say, do I have to do that? No, you don't have to do that. That's contrary to the Word of God. You do not submit in those areas. Remember, surrendering to Christ does not bring torment and fear. That is of the enemy who seeks to destroy you. So get help. Get support from the body of Christ. Don't be a silent sufferer in that. But for the majority of women here who are in Christian marriages, there is a mutual submission to the Lordship of Jesus. And so you need to allow your husbands the authority and leadership in your home, even when they make mistakes. And they will make mistakes. They're just men. We're just women. We make mistakes. We have to give place for them to grow and mature in that area, even when we do not agree or we do not fully understand. And Peter points that out with Sarah's life here. Sarah didn't have an easy life under the leadership of Abraham. Abraham had her pack up, leave home, and go on a camping trip that lasted a lifetime. He put her in a vulnerable and unsafe predicament more than once. He had a habit of putting his own best interests above his wife. But Sarah put her trust in God and obeyed Abraham, and God blessed her, and she has a testimony. It's commendable before the Lord. And so, ladies, we can also have the same testimony, bringing glory to God. There's a quote that says, there will likely be a time in our Christian journeys when, like Jacob, we will wrestle with God all night long. But there must eventually come a dawn when we say, okay, God, you win, not my will, but thine be done. And notice here in the action that it's a chaste conduct. Chaste conduct. In other words, faithful, pure, eyes only for your husband. Do not be one of those women that are looking around wishing you were married to somebody else's husband. Do not be flirtatious. Do not be fantasizing over other men through romance novels or television. Don't go there. Don't do it. And certainly do not fall into the lie of the enemy. And like so many other women in the world today, be an adulteress. Just think, well, it's okay to fornicate. I'm not happy in my marriage. There's this cute guy at work. Everybody else is doing it. No one will ever know. No, don't give in to those lies and that deceit. Be a woman of chaste conduct. Proverbs 31:11 says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. Does your husband safely trust you with his heart? The second area of submission is in our attitude. In other words, in the hidden person of the heart. You know, Peter mentions that a gentle and quiet spirit is an inner beauty that we should desire. And I actually have this verse taped on the mirror in my bathroom, and it's been there a long time because I want to look at it every day as I'm getting ready and spending time on the physical appearance. I want to be reminded of what really matters. But what exactly does that look like? What is a gentle spirit? Well, that means that we are not insistent, not pushy, not selfishly assertive or demanding. Boy, we have a tendency to want to do that. A gentle spirit is one that's not insistent or pushy. And what does a quiet spirit look like? Well, the good news is it doesn't mean that we can't talk or that we have to keep our mouths silent. As a matter of fact, a crucial part of a good marriage is communication. And now that, of course, is different than a continually nagging that the scripture talks about, like a leaky faucet that makes our husband want to go live on the rooftop. That's not communication. But communication is important. Having a quiet spirit doesn't mean that we don't talk. What it does mean is it's one who is quieted or subdued. One who is quieted or subdued. The picture here is of how a baby responds when it's placed in its mother's arms. How a baby responds when it's placed in its mother's arms. Or another definition would be to keep one's seat, calm, not agitated. And we all know that women can be quiet, but we can be brooding, can't we? We can be agitated and stressed and anxious on the inside. And we need to place ourselves in the loving arms of our Father and be subdued and be quieted before Him. Psalm 42:5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. So a gentle and a quiet spirit are precious in the sight of God. And I can't help but wonder when Peter penned this if he was thinking about his own wife. Because we know that Peter was married. And I have to think that she must have been a pretty neat gal. And I'm looking forward to meeting her in heaven. But, you know, I kind of think he was pondering his wife and that she was precious to him and precious in the sight of God. Now, before we move on, I think another huge attitude check that we need to have is in the area of respect. Now, as a parent of three kids, the one area that I've always been really strict about is that our children show Rob and I respect. Now, when they were little, it really wasn't an issue or a problem. Unlike some little children whose behavior I witnessed, mine were not allowed to tell us no. They were not allowed to point their finger at us. They were not allowed to ever hit us or kick us or outright disobey us. And if there was a little uprising in their attitude, a quick spanking or a quick discipline would take care of the problem. And then they would say they're sorry, and we'd give hugs and kisses, and we'd move on. Well, I've now entered the world of teenagers, where it's a bit more challenging. They began to develop their own opinions and their own way of thinking. And before you know it, their will and their want are of utmost importance to them. It's all about me. Well, they begin when I ask them to do something, they get this tone. And there's this body language. And they might do, and they will do, what I tell them to do, but their attitude stinks. It's just wrong, and it drives me crazy, and I find myself getting frustrated and quite honestly, sometimes angry. And I have said to them on more than one occasion, I don't care if you disagree with me or you don't like what I'm saying. You will show respect. I am your mother. Have any of you ever done that? Okay, good. You know, I think of 1 Timothy 3 where it says that children are to be in submission with all reverence. So I tell them to change your attitude or else. You might be bigger than me, but I can still spank you if I need to. So, you know, I just throw out all this stuff to them. But the problem is this. I can force them to change their outer behavior to look like they respect me. But the truth is, sadly, I cannot change their hearts, and I cannot change their mindset. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. And so I do a lot more praying now for my children. And you know, as I was reading over this passage this week and thinking about my own life and respect and my attitude in that, there was some conviction as I considered, sometimes I think I act just like my kids. I think on the outside, I'll do what I need to do, but on the inside, I have an attitude. I'm struggling with Rob's authority. And I wonder how many times Rob has wanted to say those very same words to me. I don't care if you disagree or don't like what I say. You need to do it and show me respect because I'm your husband. Now, he would never say that to me because he's not mean. He would never say that. But sometimes I deserve it. There are times when he can't tell that I'm having an attitude issue, that I'm obeying, but I'm not respecting him. Ladies, our husbands need to know that we respect them and the position that God has placed them in. You know, I was challenged, and I want to challenge you. When was the last time you told your husband how grateful you were for him and for just the role that God has put him in? When was the last time you told him you love him and that you're praying for him and that you know he has a lot of stress and accountability and that you are on his side and that you're here to encourage him and support him? If you haven't done that for a while, I want to encourage you to go home and do that. The third area of submission is in adornment. Now, the word adorn in the Greek is cosmeo, where we get our English word cosmetics. So that's good, right? That means that we can still put on our makeup. It's okay. It's in the word. It's biblical. So I like that. But the point is obviously that we need to keep our priorities straight. Remember that the inner beauty is far more important. You know, it's great to put on the makeup and get our hair done. And, you know, our husbands like that. They like that we invest time in ourselves and want to look attractive. But the outer beauty fades away. It does not last forever. It's kind of like getting your hair colored. It looks great for a few weeks, and then pretty soon those gray hairs start coming back. And recently, Rob and I were getting ready to go somewhere out in the public, and I see him kind of just like staring over me. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's looking. And then I'm like, what? He's like, man, you're gray. I'm like, ah! So I did not even want to go out of the house. I put a hat on, and I've actually been wearing scarves and hats a lot lately. And I'm so vain after doing this. I had just enough time before I took my shower. I'm rummaging through my cupboards, and I had one box of gray hair stuff. So I did my hair for tonight. But you know, the world puts all the emphasis on our outer beauty, and we are reminded a million times a day through the television, through commercials, advertisements, newspapers, magazines, billboards, and that is why we need to set our minds upon the truth of God's Word. We need to saturate and soak ourselves in the Word of God daily, His truth, His perspective about our lives and what's really important. You know, I've told this story before, but I really learned early on in my marriage that Rob was more attracted to my inner beauty than my outer beauty. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't think I'm wonderful and beautiful. I know he does. But I remember one time when I was just, you know, lacking in the area of my devotional life because I was too busy just trying to work and keep the house up and, you know, do the nice meals, and started getting agitated and frustrated. And he came home one day, and it was just the sweetest thing. And he looked at me, and he said, Denise, I'd rather you be at the feet of Jesus than have a clean house. And it's so true. Our husbands are most attracted to who we are on the inside if we're reflecting the love of God. And, you know, it's also very attractive to our children. So how much time do we spend in the Word compared to the time we spend in front of the mirror? A submissive wife is beautiful to behold. And look at verse 7 again, where it reminds us that we're heirs together of the grace of life. I love that phrase, heirs together of the grace of life. Notice together, not separate. And praise God for His grace, amen? I mean, we need so much grace extended to us by our husband, by our children, by those around us. And how much more do we need to be women that are willing and quick to be gracious and to give grace and be heirs together of the grace of life? Luke 11:17 says, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." When there is division and not a spirit of submission, our prayers are hindered. It's not just talking about the man here. In context, it's both. And think about it. When you are disquieted and when you're agitated and when you're not putting yourself under the covering and the authority and the leadership, when you're not having that spirit of submission, isn't it so hard to have a prayer life that's effective? I know mine. I struggle. If I'm not in the right place, man, I can't. My brain is somewhere else. My attitude is somewhere else. I just really struggle to pray effectively. to pray in a way that is according to the will of God, to pray in a way that he will want to respond and answer and act on my behalf in those prayers. Look here in verses 8 and 9. It says, "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers or sisters. Be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." That is an awesome truth for us. Ladies, all of us, whether a citizen, an employer, an employee, a wife, a child, a member of the family of God, we are all called to be a blessing and inherit a blessing, to be followers of what is good. And so the question is, are we fulfilling that calling? Is your life a blessing to both God and to those around you? That's a hard question that we need to take time this evening to ponder and think about. Is our life a blessing to those we impact? Are you taking hold of the spiritual inheritance in Christ, living in the blessing of a life that's surrendered to his lordship and submitted to his leadership? And is it coming out? Is it pouring out into the other areas of your life? It's all about complete surrender. So whatever the issue may be for you, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's at the workplace, whether it's in a friendship, maybe it's with your parents, maybe it's with your children, whatever it is, however trivial or overwhelming it may seem, whatever the price, whatever your fears, will you bow your knee and relinquish control tonight? You know, if you feel like you can't, that you just struggle, there's an area where you know you're not fully surrendered to the Lord in, where you don't have that submissive spirit, then go to the altar. Confess that area to the Lord that you're battling with and ask him for his empowering, and then follow in his example. And I love that Peter keeps bringing us back to that. Have you noticed at the end of every chapter, he just points us back to Jesus? It's all about Jesus. He's our example. You know, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that when the end comes, at the end of time, when all is said and done, that the conquering king, our Lord Jesus, will turn over to his Father all the kingdoms that he has overcome and all the spoils of war. And then once again, as time gives way to eternity, the Son of God, the Almighty, the sovereign creator and redeemer, the Lord of heaven and earth, he is going to bow his head in a final, magnificent act of surrender. He is our example. Let's pray. Jamie, you want to come up? Father, we thank you that you have paved the way through your Son, Jesus, who willingly laid down his life for us. It's Jesus who submitted to the authority of you, his Father, that his business was to be about your business, that everything he did all revolved around pleasing you and living for you and walking in obedience to you. And Lord, we want to be women that are followers of Christ. And Lord, in this area of submission, Lord, may we be honest and vulnerable to you this evening. And in whatever areas we are struggling, Lord, whether it's with our spouse or maybe some other person, Lord, I pray tonight that we would truly be able to bow our knee, confess, and Lord, allow you by the power of your Spirit to do a fresh and new work in our lives. Lord, we want to embrace all of you, all of your word, not just push some under the carpet that is just a little difficult, a little painful. Lord, we want to just get up on that altar and present ourselves that living sacrifice, Lord, pleasing and acceptable to you, not out of fear, but Lord, because you're good and you're our shepherd. And you're the overseer of our soul. And so we can trust you, even when we don't understand, even in the suffering, we can have your will and your way be done in our life. Next to you, I'm available if you need prayer for you to do that. Maybe you just want to come before the altar and just bow your knee.
I walked again.
Lord, we want to surrender all to you, all on the outward, and most assuredly, everything on the inward. Thank you, Lord, that you see the deepest parts of our heart and that you deal with us gently. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. It's so hard to come up here and do these practical announcements after such a deep time in the Word and in worship. So if you'll just bear with me a moment, we'll get through this and then we can go to our groups and dig in even deeper. I'd just like to give you a praise report that the parking lot's been covered, so praise the Lord. Yay, yeah. Okay, I didn't clap. I was joking with a friend that I'm up here and I find myself clapping. And I said, I won't do it. Also, a reminder, the women's retreat is coming up the end of April. We get to have this awesome time in our Bible study, and then we get to end it with a wonderful retreat together. And registration begins February 25th, so mark your calendars, and there will be a payment plan. The Warfare Conference, the one-day conference in February, which is this month, they're asking that if you are planning on registering, if you could, so they can plan for the lunches. And there is an opportunity to serve on Monday nights in the sound room. They do need some extra help. It is a bit of a commitment. You need to be here by 5 o'clock, but you just have to have a heart to serve. You don't really need to know too much, just be willing to learn. And if you're interested in that, you can see me afterward at the table out in the hallway. And also, you know, the Lord's tugging on your heart tonight. Perhaps there's an area of your life where you're dealing with submission. If you're married, if you're single, you know, we have to submit to the Lord ultimately. We have to submit to coworkers, loved ones, family, there's someone. If the Lord is tugging on your heart, do not leave here tonight without dealing with it. There are ladies on the left and right to pray with. There's your leaders. Perhaps you want someone to call you. You can write that down on your prayer request. Put your number. Tell them that you want to call, and you can share with them. But don't wait. It's a battle now, but once you confess, once you submit, oh, there's so much freedom. God bless you. Enjoy your groups.